Good morning, FCC. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Aren't you glad he woke you up this morning, started you on your way, clothed you in your right mind, gave you legs to walk on? You have the use of your legs and your arms. Your strength is within your body. For that we give him praise. Amen. Welcome to First Congregational Christian Church Fellowship this morning. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Lord and Savior, we come before your presence in humble submission, thanking you, Father, for all that you have done through our lives, Lord, and with us, and all that you're going to do with us. We thank you for allowing us to come into your fold this morning, Father God, to fellowship one with another, for it was you who said that iron sharpens iron. So we pray now, Lord, that you would bless us, Father God, in the receiving of your word, Father God, and have us, Father God, to be doers of your word. Bless every office that's represented here today, Lord. Bless every family that's here, Father God. And for those that could not be here today, Lord, for whatever the reason may be, it's none of our business, but we know you are fully aware of all things. For that, Father, we ask that you bless them right where they are, Father God. Continue, Father God, to move through this service, Lord. Bless everyone who will partake in this, the musicians, Father God, those who will be singing this morning, the ushers, Father God. We lift them up to you in the name of Jesus. And we ask right now, Lord, that you have your way, Father God. Allow your spirit to roam, Father God, from pew to pew, from body to body, that we, Father God, feel your presence. And then, Father God, we react to your presence by going beyond these walls to do your will, that we bring you glory in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. To walk with me.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And welcome. Happy first Sunday in February. It is the fifth Sunday after Epitome and the start of Black History Month. Some people complain about we only get 1 month to have Black History Month and tell our story. But I'm going to ask you this morning, out of the other 11 months that are left, have you ever heard of a White History Month?
All right.
So we're just all glad to be here this morning. We delight in having Reverend Wiggins back with us again. Praise God for you for coming to be with us this morning to share God's message on this beautiful day that God has provided for us. And I would be remiss in my duties as moderator if I did not ask Sandra, Mrs. Wiggins, to please stand so the church can see you this morning, and praise God for your attendance as well. You know, when the first lady show up with the first man, that's a good thing. So, Mrs. Wiggins, we delight in your presence this morning. Thank you so much for being here. And if you are visiting with us this morning, if you have not been here in a while, or if you just stopped by to praise God with us and you're not part of our immediate church family, please stand and be acknowledged at this time if we have any visitors with us this morning. I looked around, and I think that we're one happy family this morning. And we delight in your presence and coming out. I have just a few announcements this morning. I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. I know it's the first Sunday, but these are all important. Our executive board met on Thursday night, and I am thankful for each of them. As we take care of the church business in the absence of the fullness of the church body, I want you to know that our church is really in good hands. I am pleased this morning to share with you that we will meet as a church family. We're going to meet as a church family in March and or April, depending on what COVID and all this other stuff is going on. But I'm going to provide updates for you. I'm going to share news about our 150th church anniversary that we're planning, as well as where we are in the process for searching for a pastor. You're going to get something like a cute little newsletter from the moderator leading up until March and April. We hope that it's not going to take the place of our annual church meeting, but it's going to be a very informative meeting for the church to bring us up so we all will know where we are. I want you to please continue to remember our sick and shut-in members, those that are less fortunate, and our children of Montgomery Public Schools. A very special thank you this morning. She's not here this morning with us, but I want to give a very special shout out and a thanks this morning to everyone that responded to our youth ministry requests, but especially to Elisa Sinfield, who will assist us with gathering all of our parents, the adults that indicated that they wanted to assist with the youth. I'm going to say this because I'm one of them. All of the seasoned church members that will be available to work with the youth ministry as needed. To God be the glory for answering my call and for saying that you will work. The meeting will be called soon, and we'll let you know very soon who's going to be the leader for youth ministry and who will lead our children in song. We already have that taken care of, but we're good. A couple other things quickly. One of our former church members, many of you might not remember this person. This person was an instructor for some people, I understand, at Tuskegee University, and attended church with us, served on the trustee board, and was a member of the layman's. I shared with this with the church earlier, but it's Roland Jackson III. The funeral is scheduled for Saturday at 1 o'clock p.m. at Ross Clayton Funeral Home. That's Saturday at 1 o'clock at Ross Clayton's Funeral Home. In honor of Black History Month, Hallmark, believe it or not, Hallmark is sending us cards. All we've got to do is go on. I'm going to send you the link through a one call. And if you've purchased a mahogany card before, you know what I'm talking about. But you can get 3 free mahogany cards from Hallmark. I'm going to be sending the link to the church. I've already applied for mine. Please do so. And if you have not applied for your free vaccine and that you can do to take your self-test, I'm going to send that back to the church again. We've received ours, as several of you have, but I'm going to send that back out again. I think I've covered everything. Dawana, when you were singing in your melodious voice earlier, you did not know what my thought for the week would be. So I want you, Dawana, to hear the thought for the week, since you just tore that song up when you were singing it earlier. And it reminded me that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Every one of us need to do that. But this is the thought for the week. Dawana told us she wants to walk with Jesus, and that's what we all need to do. Church, make sure that you don't pull over and let the devil ride. Because if you let him ride, I can guarantee you this morning, he's going to want to drive. Have a wonderful week.
Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. I don't know about you, but I can't think of anyone better than Jesus to have over you and with you and in you and through you. Thank you, sister, for that beautiful song. Not only did she kind of touch base with Sister Fortness on the word of the week, that walk with Jesus is one of my favorites. So I thank you for blessing my heart with that. You all, I ask that you excuse my voice. I had to go down to Pensacola this past week and eulogize a cousin Thursday and encourage another family member on Friday in funerals. And I got back in town last night, but I noticed Thursday after I had got done preaching, I didn't go prepared because I left during the middle of the day on Wednesday. And thank you for introducing my beautiful wife, because oftentimes when I leave home without her packing, I leave more behind than just her. And I didn't take my overcoat with me. And the weather kind of shifted in Florida. And I think it started distorting my voice. But in spite of it all, I give God glory. Because there is a word to go forward. And I'm trusting in him to ensure that his sheep fed. Amen. I want to thank First Congregational for inviting me back. I have had an opportunity to speak with you all virtually, but to see your face in the place is a pleasure, a great joy to me. Deacon, Sister White, I see you all in the house this morning. I've seen your pictures. I've heard you on a couple of the Sunday schools. So thank God for your being here this morning, for all of you. Thank God for your being here and accepting my wife and I back before your presence to fellowship with you. There is a word this morning, but before I go to the word in prayer, I want to go to God in prayer. If you will, allow me to do that at this time. Father God, I stand before your presence now, humbly, Father, thanking you for this opportunity to come before your people and give them, Father God, the word that you have given me this day. I pray, Father God, that you would prepare their minds, their hearts, and their ears to hear, to receive, and become doers of your words. Allow me, Father, to hide behind your cross, decrease that you increase, and that your word go forth. I pray now, Father, that you're pleased with this service. It's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. 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 And the word of God this morning is coming to you from the book of Psalms. Psalms 119. There are two verses I want to lift out of this text. That's 71 and 72. Psalms 119, 71. And 72, and I will be reading to you from the King James Version. I don't know what your rules are, but if you would like to stand with me as we read God's word, I invite you to stand at this time. If you still need a moment to get there, say, wait a minute. If you're there, say, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I see my good deacon is still turning the pages. I want to wait until he get there because I want us all to be on one accord. Amen. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 71 and 72. Amen. Ain't God good? All the time. And all the time, God is good. I think every one of us can declare by virtue of our being here this morning. Amen. Look, our deacon is there, so let us read. I will read, and you can follow along with me. Psalms 119, verse 71, 72, the King James Version. And God's word read, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." You may take this, your seats. "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." And I want to use for a text this morning, growing out of my mess. Growing out of my mess. How many times have you gotten yourself into a mess or gotten yourself into a situation and you had to call on God to bail you out? And no sooner than you call on God to bail you out, you find yourself saying, "Had I listened in the first place, I wouldn't need God to bail me out of this. Had I listened to mama, had I listened to daddy, my brothers, my sister, if only I had listened, I wouldn't need to be bailed out of a mess." And then you find yourself saying, "Something told me, but let me drop a nugget on you. It wasn't something that told you. It was God himself telling you by way of the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking to somebody right now. See, you're either heading in a storm and he's trying to stop you from going into that storm, or you're in the midst of a storm and he's preparing you to come out of that storm, or he just brought you out of a storm and now you're walking in his statutes. You're keeping his commandments and you're doing them. King David experienced all three phases of this storm. He had a battle with Goliath. He was on the run from Saul. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had her husband Uriah murdered. He had his son died because of his own action. I say David was in a bed of affliction, but David knew what it was like to be free and to be careless. He knew what it was like to be on a bed of affliction. He knew what it was like to be blessed beyond measure. Good old President Abraham Lincoln once quoted, "Nearly all men can stand adversity. Adversity, that is. But if you want to test the character of a man, give him power." And see, David had this power and he abused the power that he had. And then he came to his senses. The book of Psalms is a book of prayers and worship rendered unto the Lord to teach us how we should relate to God when we experience various circumstances as we go through this journey called life. Psalm 119 is the longest of 150 Psalms, and most of them are written by David. This particular Psalm and the Psalm 119 consists of 8 section verse sections. Each section coincides with the letters of the Hebrew language, but nearly every verse contains words of God's revelation, words such as the law, his testimony, his ways, his precepts, his statutes, commandments, his judgment, and finally, his word. In this passage, David is praising God. He is expressing his appreciation for God's chastisement. He is expressing his desire then to be taught by God. He's acknowledging his own faults And then he's expressing the value of God's law. I'm talking about growing out of my mess. So first thing, you must accept God's chastisement. What David said in verse 65, he said, "Thou hast dealt with me, thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word." He said, "You have dealt with me according to your word." See, David is telling God that your word is truth. And if we hold fast to the truth, we too would tell God that his word is truth. David is telling God it will accomplish what it set out to do. David said, "You shown mercy toward me. You spared my life." And when I look back over my life, I think every one of us can look back over our life and see what God has brought us out of some mess, and he's yet working some things out for us. When I look back over my life, David is telling God, he said, "I'm glad it was you who was doing the chastisement and not man," because back in the day of the law, what David had done would be a sure death. Even when man is chastising you in their evil ways, with their evil corruption, with their evil intent, if you just hold on to God's unchanging hand, I will be reminded what the Apostle Paul told us, that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, those who are called according to his purpose. Therefore, you must accept the chastisement of God and understand that it's working for your good. See, now I can see how I'm growing out of my mess, deep, because I'm seeking God and I was called according to his purpose and according to his word. It's working for my good. So not only must I accept the chastisement of God, secondly, I must then seek guidance of God. Don't you know, when you go through something and God has brought you out of a fix, brought you out of a mess, brought you out of some trouble, you should then rely on God to order your steps. David said, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." See, after the rod of correction comes, and I can speak to some of us elderly folk, because we grew up in a time where mama and daddy didn't spare the rod. And the rod brought about some correction. And now we look back over. Back then, we thought they were taking us out, was going to kill us, but we appreciate it now. I was talking to my brothers yesterday, and they said, "You know, daddy was hard on us. Daddy used to whoop us. He didn't beat us down. He didn't abuse us. But I'm glad for the whippings that he gave us. Look at us now. By the grace of God." So David said, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." David is saying, "Now that you got my attention, God, now that you have spared my life, now I'm focused on you. I'm ready to learn from you. Have you had enough? Are you tired? Are you willing then to be taught by God? If you're willing to be taught by God, stop listening to man. If you're willing to be taught by God, stop listening to man, because man would be like, "You don't have to go to church to be saved. You don't have to believe to be saved. All you have to do is do this, be nice to your friends, do this for that person." And that God said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of God." It's over in Matthew 7. That's the word. Go check it out. He said, "You will not enter into the kingdom of God. You are the worker of iniquity." The good judgment and knowledge will help you avoid putting trust in man. Good judgment and knowledge will help you avoid taking matters into your own hand. Jeremiah said in 17:9, he said, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And he goes on and says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it but God? When you put God between you and man, God helps you to then exercise in good judgment and knowledge. He enables you to discern the wickedness of man, but you will have to exercise good judgment and discern this wickedness by believing in God's word, trusting in the Lord and leaning not to your own understanding. And God said he will direct your path if you acknowledge him in all things. I'm trying to help somebody grow out of their mess. So therefore, you must seek God's guidance. And third, you must acknowledge your own wrongdoings. That's where a lot of us run into problems, Deke. We don't want to acknowledge our own wrongdoings. See, the moment we start acknowledging our own wrongdoings, we're admitting that we have a problem. We're admitting that we tried to work this thing out on our own for a long time. I've been trying it over and over again. And now I'm turning it over to God. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. Before I was afflicted. How many of you have had some before I was afflicted moments? I know I'm not the only one in here. He said, how many have had them? At what point did you determine that it was you? See, that was a time I had to determine it wasn't somebody else. It wasn't God, but it was me. Did you look in the mirror and say, God, why me? Or did you say, why not me? Or did you say, I put myself in this situation. I allowed myself to be in this situation. When you left the mirror, did you stop blaming somebody else? Take a look in the mirror and come to the understanding that I did this to myself. Because if you're a child of God, I heard him say, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. You have to trust God in all things. See, God allows us to fall into beds of afflictions. But while you're in your bed of affliction, God is remolding you. While you're in your bed of affliction, the potter is now doing a makeover on you. While you're in your bed of affliction, it don't always feel good, but I promise you it's real good for you. Don't lose sight of God when you're going through. Ask the question in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the affliction, Lord, what are you telling me? What message are you conveying to me in the midst of this storm? What are you trying to say to me? Open my eyes that I might see your will and your way. I heard David say, Lord, have mercy on me according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. He said, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly. Anybody want to be washed thoroughly? David said, wash me thoroughly and from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. If I acknowledge our wrongdoings unto God in the midst of our affliction, he will cleanse us up from the toe to the roof. He will cleanse us. You must then accept God's chastisement. And you must seek God's guidance. And you must
acknowledge your own faults. And when you acknowledge your own faults, finally, you can confess the value of God's goodness, as did David. I heard David say, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. See, when you got my attention, now I'm focused on your word. I can't speak for you, but it was good for me. Oh Lord, the law of your mouth was good for me. The words of your mouth was good for me. The commandments of your mouth was good for me. Better, I said it was better than thousands of gold and silver. I'm growing out of my mess. I heard David say, before I was afflicted, I did whatever I wanted to do. I had the first say, and I had the last say. I committed adultery with Bathsheba. I had a husband, Uriah, killed. Therefore, I was a murderer, but God spared my life. And it took a good old friend of David to tell him about himself. So when your friends come to tell you something about yourself, when you go to them to tell them something about yourself, go to them with the word of God. Tell me, Nathan was a good old prophet. Over in the second book of Samuel, around the 12th chapter, it said Nathan went to David and told David a story of a rich man and a little old poor man who only had one little ewe lamb. And David began to tell the story. David told him that there was a rich man who had much, had many flock, and there was a poor man who had one little poor old ewe lamb. He raised this ewe lamb up, put it in his bosom like he would his daughter. And there was a noble man that came to town. This noble man, they set up a feast for. The rich man took the old ewe lamb from this one poor man, killed it, dressed it up, and fed the nobleman. And as Nathan was telling David the story, David was furious. David got mad. David said, this man deserved to die. Watch out when you tell someone that this person deserved to die. You might be talking about yourself. Nathan said, David, this man is you. You're that same man. What you did to Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, was no better than what this man did to the ewe lamb. So David realized now, he's calling on God now. He's praising God now. He's thanking God now. It was me, Lord. It was me. It was me. It was me. Sometimes along our life, we have to grow up. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I was a child, I understood as a child. When I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. You want to grow out of your mess? Start acting like a man. Put those childish things away. Learn to accept effective criticism. And then learn to give effective criticism. And you do that with the word of God. I promise you, you can't do this without Jesus. Doors of the church. Open. Doors of the church. Open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone out there in a mess. It may not be you, It may be somebody that you know. Will you tell them the story? Will you tell them, will you introduce them to Christ? Somebody, not everybody's saved. Some folks, they know God. And that's good. But according to the Hebrew scripture, even the demons know God. And they tremble at his name. Your salvation comes only by your belief in Christ Jesus. So will you come? If you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, will you be that one that come forth and give your life at this time? Tomorrow is not promised to you. Wait a minute, won't do it. Let me talk to my family and friends, won't do it. But have a little talk with God, and he will condition you to trust in his son Jesus. Faith, then you're saved by grace through faith. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man shall boast. If you have not been baptized, and you desire to be baptized, you've accepted the calling. You've accepted that Christ is the Son of God. You've confessed that what you believe in your heart, that God raised him from the dead. Now you are saved. Will you be that one? Hallelujah. 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 Growing out of your mess. Put it in God's hand. Trust God with it. You've been in it far too long. I had a friend tell me, said, man, you want to get yourself out of a hole? Stop digging. Stop digging. And start trusting. And watch God lift you up out of it. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, Dick. We will prepare for the Lord's Supper at this time. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'll come down with you.
Never heard that Jesus shed for me. Back on Calvary.
She allowed God to use her. Amen. 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 This part of the service is a sacred part of this service, which Jesus ascribed to his disciples before he was betrayed. And the word of God tells us, let every man examine himself. You don't want to partake of this bread and drink of this wine and bring damnation on yourself. And we certainly don't want that for any of us. So I'm going to render up a prayer for you. And I ask that you pray along with me. And if there has been any wrong that you know of, and for the wrong that you didn't know of, now is the time to give it to God. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we come before your presence once again, thanking you, Father God, for this opportunity that you've given us to fellowship with you, Lord, over the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine. I pray, Father God, for every soul that's sitting before you right now, that you will cover them, Father God, anoint them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, Father God. Protect them in all that they do. Order their steps in every way they should walk, Father God. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will continue to lift up First Congregational Christian Church on one accord, Father God. Let them walk in unity and find that goodness in you that only they can find, Father. And Father, we pray and thank and ask in the name of Jesus that none of us partake of this being hungry, but because of the love we have for you after you first loved us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. On the night which Jesus was to be betrayed, he took the bread, And he looked up to heaven, and after he had prayed, he broke it. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And in like manner, he took the cup, and after he had supped, he said, take, drink. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is given for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Amen. Oh, forgive me. Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen, amen, amen. That's it. Okay. Okay. And after they had eaten and drank, they send up praises and songs unto the Lord.
Was blood for me.
us the blood, and I thank him for the blood. And I pray I'm not out of proper protocol, but I happened to look up and I noticed First Lady Duncan sitting in the sanctuary. So I want to acknowledge you, First Lady. Thank you. Give her a round of applause for her steadfast service. Let us stand for the benediction. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. And may all God's children say, amen.